So we left off last week, we were discussing the intricacies of the sugya of Kesuse Mechta Shiurei. So we got onto the sugya, beginning with the Hilchas Lulav and Esreg. Then we quickly realized that it's going to impact on other mitzvahs as well. We spoke last week a lot about the bits of shofar, and we really raised one fundamental question as we spent the entire Shia talking about one fundamental question. Namely, does the din of Kesuse Mechta Shiurei apply to all shiurim? But does it only apply to those shiurim that are pure objective halachic shiurim? Those shiurim that exist in the world of halacha because of some mitzvahs that we're trying to satisfy, maybe those kinds of shiurim are not subject to Kesuse Mechta Shiurei. So we gave a few examples last week. We spoke about the possibility of Kesuse Mechta Shiurei as it relates to the size of an esreg. We spoke about Kesuse Mechta Shiurei as it relates to the size of a shofar. Those were questionable halachas. Whether those shiurim are really pure halachic shiurim, or those shiurim are more just a reflection of some kind of a mitzias that we're trying to satisfy. So if I'm not mistaken, I think we left off, we're about to go to the Gemara Yevamos. I don't think we started yet the chalitza part. If I'm not mistaken, I think we had just left off at that point last week. So let's pick it up from here. Let's go back to one of the primary sources of Absus Mechta Shiurim and see how it plays out or doesn't play out concerning a chalitza shiur, and see if this can shed some light on our question as to whether Kesuse Mechta Shiurei is an all-encompassing statement, or whether it only applies to certain kinds of shiurim. So let's take a look at the Gemara in Yevamos and stuff, Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. We've seen this Gemara a little bit in the past in other contexts, but now let's analyze it from the vantage point of Kesuse Mechta Shiurei. So let's pick it up from Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, the very bottom. From the Gemara is talking about a sandal, a shoe, a nal, or a sandal that's going to be used for chalitza. And the last line, bottom line from Gimel Amud Beis, what would the din be if it shall tikroves avedis kichavim? What if the chalitza shoe is from something that was given as a gift to the avodah zarah? So tikroves avodah zarah is asa b'hanah, but worse than just being asa b'hanah, bittul doesn't apply to tikroves avodah zarah. Now that's important because remember in the previous sugya we spoke about different avodah zarahs that are subject to bittul, perhaps are not subject to kesuse mechta shiurei, because kesuse mechta shiurei is a complete and total statement of this item is told sreifa. Nothing will ever salvage this item. Something that could be salvaged through bittul, maybe you could argue, is not called kesuse mechta shiurei. So if the Gemara is picking on an example of tikrovus of a desire, we're talking about something where bittul is not an option. So what would it then be if you do a chalitza with a sandal shal tikrovus of a tikhavim, or the Gemara on the top of Kuvdal where Aleph continues, v'shaliyani dachas, or if you do chalitza with a shoe that came from an Irni Dachas. Once again, an Irni Dachas, all the property of the Irni Dachas have to be burned, Viseraftas, Nebaesh, everything has to be burned. There's no way out of it, there's no bitul, there's no way to salvage anything. It's finished on Tzrefa, Vimina Oilam. So these are two good examples that would lend themselves to Kesuse Mechta Shiurei. So the Gemara doesn't yet say what the din is. The Gemara just listing one after another. So one is Tikrovus Medizar. Number two is Irni Dachas. And then the Gemara hits us with a curveball. At the top of Kuvdal Menalf, shall zokir asim chvodel. If you have a shoe that was used for tachrichim, or was set aside for tachrichim, really, it was designated to be used for tachrichim, it's an older person set aside his tachrichim, set aside his shoes that he's going to wear for as part of his tachrichim. So if you have that kind of a shoe, lo tachlots, any one of the three shoes should not be used. Either the sandal of tikrovus of a dezer, the sound of Leonid Dachas, or the sound of Zachar Asad Chvodim. The Imchol. And if you did Chalitz with them, Chalitz as Psula. So Chalitz is not acceptable whatsoever. Totally, completely apostle. No question about it. So Gemara says, why, as an aside, what's wrong with this last shoe? To show Zachar Asad Chvodim. What's wrong with the sound of Shal Tachrichim? So Amalei Rabbeinu Rabashi, Maishno Zachar Asad Chvodim, the lovely Hilucha Ovid. So apparently the reason is because it's not made to walk with. It's not going to be worn by a live person. It's going to be worn by a person, the Achamev Yashim Shana. So something that's not worn for the purpose of walking with cannot possibly be called the Chalitza shoe. A shoe, Chotzit Nalom Eraglai. So the term shoe in Halacha doesn't just mean a piece of leather that matches the shape of your foot. It means something that's used as a kliach of halicha, something that's used to protect your foot when walking. If you have a particular quote-unquote shoe that's never going to be used for walking because it's never going to be on the foot of a live person, that's ois shoe, that's not called the na'al in halacha. So the Gemara says that's clearly the reason for the first two. I'm sorry, that's clearly the reason for the last case. There were three scenarios given. There's the tikrovus of a desar, there's the Ir Nidachas, and then there's the Tachrichim. So there's no question that the reason why the Tachrichim apostle is because it's not called the shoe, because it's not also the Kach Lahalicha. Why are the first two apostle? What's wrong with the sandal shel Tikrovis of Edazar? What's wrong with the sandal shel Ir Nidachas? So Rashi is quick to fill us in on that. So if you look at back in the bottom of Gimel and Beis, the two lines from the bottom of Rashi, that was brought as a gift for the idol. The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, that something that was given as a gift to Avodah Zarah doesn't have bittul to it. How do you know that? The Iskish Lameis, the special Zesu Kosov. Tikrovus Avodah Zarah is compared to a dead body. We've got a whole story, a whole sugya of Avodah Zarah, not for us right now. Hukuk Rashi gets to the punchline. Place like Takanta. Therefore, unlike other items of Avodah Zarah that may be salvageable through bittul, Tikrovus doesn't have that option. And therefore, because Ein La Takanta, now Rashi Mamish comes to the Makabit Pastish, Uksusim Echtashirim. And therefore, it's Ksusim Echtashirim. So Rashi just told us that the bottom line reason why the sandal shel Tikrovus is possible is because of Ksusim Echtashirim. And then Rashi repeats the same Pizman at the top of Kuvdal Alamed Aleph. There is no way to salvage it. You can't hocus pocus get your way out of the mitzvah sreifa. So it's also considered to be omid the sreifa, and therefore ksusimet the shuri. So it comes out according to Rashi, an interesting thing, just in terms of style of this Gemara, in terms of the textual style of this Gemara. There were three dinim that were lumped together in one sentence, and they're not all three for the same reason. Which of these three is not like the other? So the Avodah Zarah, the Ir Nidachas and the Tachrichim are all possible in HaTorah, but for radically different reasons. The first two were possible because of Ksusim Echtashira, and the last one was possible because of it's not Osi LaHalicha. So it's an important, keep that in the back of our minds. Rashi, just an observation we made within Rashi's Pshat, the Gemara, a little bit of a textual quirk, that why did Rava lump all three together? So the answer is because they're all possible. I had the possible different reasons, so what? The Rava was just interested in just giving you, don't use the following shoes off limits. The first two for reason A, and the second, and the third one for reason B. But there's something which is a tremendous chiddush at the Yosef and Rashi. That Rashi is applying Ksusim Echtashira to a Chalitza shoe. Why? Because there must be a shear of a Chalitza shoe. What's the shear of the Chalitza shoe? The shear of the Chalitza shoe is big enough that it fits. The shoe has to fit. If it's too small, it's not chayfis or of ragloy, it's not good. If it's too big and it falls off, it's no good. Why is it no good? Because the Torah says it has to be nalo, nalo haroyloy. If it's not fit, if it doesn't, the shoe doesn't fit, so then it's ois chalitza shoe. So there's a shear of a chalitza shoe. It has to be chayfis or of ragloy. It can't be too small, it doesn't cover most of the foot. But if I would ask you, what's the nature of that shear? What shalom desha category does that shear fit into? Is that an absolute objective halachic shear called chayfis rav ragloi? Or is that shear a reflection of some mitzias? So the answer should be obvious. That shear is not even identical in each person. If you have a very, very tall person, he's going to need a very, very big foot. He's going to need a bigger shoe than the smaller person. So anytime you have a shear that fluctuates from person to person, it's very hard to call that an absolute halachic shear. That's much more of a reflection of a certain mitzias. And the mitzias advarim is, the shoe has to be able to be usable. It has to be able to fit into your foot. It doesn't cover your foot, so that's not acceptable. But the nature of that shear is physical in nature, not all that different than the shear, some of the shear that we spoke about last week, the shear of the esrog. It has to be big enough, because otherwise it's not ripe. Or it's got to be big enough that otherwise it's not nika l'kichasa. Or the shofar's got to be big enough that you can be able to see it not blowing into your hand. So we spoke about those kinds of shirim last week, the mitzias oriented, the mitzias derived shirim. And we said, concerning the mitzias-driven shurim, we're not even sure Ksusim Echtashirim applies. But Rashi was sure. But the fact that Rashi learned in this sugya that Ksusim Echtashirim is the psul, Zaman Fandai, you see from this Rashi, it's clear as day that Ksusim Echtashirim applies even to non-pure halachic shurim. We're almost blaming Rashi for this. Doesn't the Gemara say? Doesn't the Gemara say, Ir Nidachas the Krovus apostle? So the answer is, yeah, the Gemara says it, but the Gemara doesn't say why it's apostle. Rashi was the one who stuck in. The reason why it's possible is for the following reason: Ksusim Echtashirim. Could there be another pshat in the Gemara? So the answer is absolutely. If you take a look at the Rambam, I sent the last bit of my Makobis to the Rambam Huchas Yibum, Sefer Noshim. So the Rambam Huchas Yibum Mechalitza, Perek Dalet. So let's take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Yibum V'Chalitza, Perek Dalet, Halacha Chof. About halfway into the Rambam. Those who have the Franco Rambam, so it's on the fourth line in the Rambam, in Halacha Chof. Those who don't have the Franco Rambam, I have absolutely no idea where it is. But in the Franco Rambam, it's on the fourth line of Halacha Chof. The first word line is Bahano, and the Rambam continues, Aval. Sandal shatikroi b'savet uzara, mishal yoni dachas, o shenasa l'meishi kovabo, imchol tzebo chleitzas apsula, sharei eino oimed lahalach boi. What did the Rambam just say? The Rambam just took all three dinim of the Gemara and lumped them into one sentence and said, the reason why all of the above of apostle is dafka, because eino asil halachboy. The reason that the Gemara used for the tachrichim, the Rambam is learning, that's not just the reason for the tachrichim. That's in fact the reason for all of the above. The reason why you can't use a sandal shel tekrovos avodah zarah, and for the same reason why you can't use a sandal shel nachas, is very simple, because they're not ruim lahalicha. You know why they're not ruim lahalicha? Because they're asur b'hanah l'yonim bahem. They will never ever be walked in. No one will ever put these on their feet to walk with, for different reasons. The sandal which is set aside for tachrichim is not going to be used because it's set aside for tachrichim. The sandal of the Avodah Zarah and the Eir Nidachas is not going to be used because they're also banah. It doesn't matter, says the Rambam. At the end of the day, the Eino Oymed L'Halachboi and Eino L'Halachboi is an independent psul. So the Rambam is gewaldic, because according to the Rambam, the text of the Gemara reads like a chart. We noted that according to Rashi's pshat, that there are two different categories of psulim playing out. So why did the Gemara lump them together? So we had to be doichik and say, well, since they're all possible, the Gemara just felt they're comfortable to throw them into the same sentence. But according to the Rambam, the Gemara reads much smoother. Textually, the Gemara reads much smoother. The reason why the Gemara lumped them together is because they're all possible for the exact identical reason. But now, of course, there's a problem with the Rambam, a question of the Rambam. According to the Rambam, why did the Rambam have to go fishing for another reason? What was wrong with the reason of Ksusim Ektashuri? The Rambam is almost ignoring Ksusim Ektashuri. So why is that reason not sufficient? So the answer is partial, that the Rambam held exactly what we claimed Rashi didn't hold. That the Rambam held that since the nature of the shir of a chalitza shu is not halacha nature, rather is driven by a metzius concern, namely it's got to be big enough, got to fit. That is not a type of a shir that lends itself to Ksusim Ektashuri. So clearly our Shaila from last week, which was the driving force of how to read the Tosfos about the size of an Esrig and how to read the Rosh about the size of a Shofar, is now of the famous Machlekes Rashi and Rambam, how to read this Gemara. Why is it that Asher and Yeridach is apostle? I'm sorry, why is it that Tekrov is an Yeridach is apostle? Is it because of Ksusim Ektashur like Rashi, which would lead us to believe that even Shurim Metzias a subject to Ksusim Ektashur? Or is it like the Rambam, why to go fishing and searching for another reason? Because the reason Ksus Mekshurim would have failed us because of the fact that these are Metzia Shurim, not Halacha Shurim.
Why can't you say that the Rambam holds Ksusim Mekshurim, but he was looking for a reason because, as the Rav said, for textual reason, that covers all three. He felt that would be better.
So first of all, the emphasis is that it's really a big chiddush to call this Eino Osu L'Halach altogether. Call it Davar Osu B'Anah, Eino Osu L'Halach is a huge chiddush. Because the mice could be used to walk with. It's just you're not allowed to. So that in and of itself is already a chiddush. Number two, usually then this is the reason. I mean, this is the reason most probably lafuke other potential reasons. Unless you're saying that I'm just giving you one of multiple reasons. But again, it's almost an appel on the Gemara. Then the Gemara, by lumping the three together, is almost ignoring the simpler reason, Ksusim Ektashurim. So I don't know, maybe it's possible, maybe both reasons are true, it is possible. But if you want to understand the Rambam as giving the reason and Rashi giving the reason, each one disagreeing with the other one's reason, then that would support our theory that there is a machlokes to be shining about shurim that are driven by metzias rather than by halacha. So is there any other gemaras, any other sources in Chazal that speak about these funny kind of shurim that are metzias oriented? So there is a Gemara in Maseches Erevin, a very, very cryptic Gemara in Maseches Erevin that we need just a little bit of a background to appreciate. And I realized a little while ago when I was doing today's daf, that those who are learning daf yomi, so really got the jump start on this one, because the all the principles of mavoi, kair, and lechi that we're about to talk about have been today's daf. To begin with, at least we alluded to in today's daf. So we'll just give a very quick introduction in order to appreciate what the significance of this gemara is and how this is going to shed some more light on our discussion about metzias versus halacha-oriented shiurim. There is a din that, and there's an Israel Tzom in the Torah, one is not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim or vice versa, but to carry Talad Amos within Rishus HaRabim. All three of those are Isum Gemurim in the Torah. They're all considered to be part of the Lamates Malacha, of the Malacha of carrying. But in order to violate Minat Torah, it's very, very clear, you have to have a going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. You have to go from an area that is Alachli Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. If you have an area that is Alachli Rishus HaYochid, then nothing could possibly go wrong in a Torah. You ask Moshe Rabbeinu, can I carry in an area that's a Rishus HaYochid? The answer is, of course, it's a shad, not even a suffer. How do you define an area to be a Rishus HaYochid in a Torah? So an area that's Mukaf Mechitzah, it's surrounded by walls, that's called Rishus HaYochid in a Torah. Now, there are halacha Moshe Messina, how tall those walls have to be, and the strength of the walls. There are a lot of halachas that govern, and breaches in walls, and lovewoods, and laparitzes, and a lot of details that govern the rules of Mechitzahs. That's what the Gemara says in Sukkah and Neir and Brachas, Shiurin Chatzitzin Mechitzin Alacha Moshe Messinai. All the details, the intricacies of Erev and Shabbos and all the laws that govern Mechitzas, all Alacha Moshe Messinai. But when all the dust settles, the Alacha is very, very simple. That the area surrounded is Mukaf Mechitzas, then it's Rishus HaYochid, then nothing could possibly go wrong. How many Mechitzas constitutes Mukaf Mechitzas? So according to the Avraham Ejar, the Rishayim, three Mechitzas. As long as you have three out of four Mechitzas, so even though the fourth side is completely open, completely, there's absolutely nothing there, nothing could possibly go wrong in a Torah. That's what Rishus HaYochid Gomim in a Torah. The Rambam has a unique sheet, a little bit different than all the Rishayim. But Rubid Rishayim learned that, based on Gemara's beginning of Masechet Erevin, that three walls is a derais, Rishus HaYochid, nothing to go. Nevertheless, Chazal were very, very weary. If you have an area that has only three walls, and the fourth wall is totally, completely empty, totally, completely open, That could be a spell of potential disaster. Why? Because very often those kinds of areas are lead into completely open areas. And you have a setup where a person's carrying their own little non-amos, so they're carrying their own little area, and they're looking around, three out of four sides, they see the chitzes. So there's nothing to worry about. But if they walk a little bit far, they go past the line, they may end up right smack in the middle of a major intersection. They may end up in the middle of the street, and they may end up carrying in a rishus around their isa. So Chazal were very, very weary and said, just because your area has three walls, don't carry so fast. Don't go run so fast to carry in that area, even though it's my own area. It could be totally my own backyard, doesn't matter. But if the area opens up to an area that's a problematic area, so we want to make sure that there's something there, some kind of a barrier between the end of your Rishus HaYochid and the actual Rishus HaRabim, the actual street. And in the days of Chazal, so usually what this consisted of was as follows. The setup of houses in the days of Chazal, which is actually today's daf, was really very, very simple. They were private houses, and the private houses opened up into a common courtyard. So if you think it's almost like an apartment building. We have private apartments that lead into a hallway or something, into a lobby. So you have a private apartments, private little private houses leading into a common courtyard. And then those courtyards would all lead together into an alleyway. The alleyway, the courtyards were called the chatzir, batim chatziris, and the alleyway was called the mavui. Now the alleyway is a mavui. There was a lot of traffic in the mavui, but the mavui was not completely open. So it wasn't like a thoroughfare. It wasn't going to be a connecting different parts of the city because the mavui was actually closed on three sides. The mavui was, generally speaking, most mavuis were closed on three sides. Namely, the walls of the chatzir would be the mechitzah of the mavui. So if you think about the setup, you had the little houses opening up the big chatziris. Then you had chatziris, you had chatzir on one side, the chatzir on another side, chatzir in the back. And each chatzir was fenced off. And then there were doorways, and you'd walk from your house into the chatzir. Then you go through the pescha chatzir into the mavui. And then the mavui would funnel directly into the street. It would lead directly into the Rishus HaRabim. So there was nothing in between the end of the mavui and the mamash main thoroughfare of town. So the problem is as follows. So though we have Torah, there's nothing wrong with carrying that mavui, because that mavui has three walls to it. It has the back wall of this chatzah, the back wall of the end chatzah, the back wall of the third chatzah. So there's nothing wrong at all with that Torah to do whatever you please inside that mavui. The problem is that Midirabban and Chazal were concerned that if we don't stop you, So what's going to happen is if you start to carry the mavul, the next thing you know is you're going to carry right into the street. It's a few inches away, a few feet away. You end up right smack in the middle of the Shusram Derei. So therefore, Chazal instituted they have to do something in that Pesach HaMavoi to close off the mavul, so to speak. And that's the opening Mishnah in Masechet Erevin. Erevin, the Beis Hamikdash begins with this problem. How in the world do you close off a mavul? What mechanism is used to close off a mavul? So both the first Mishnah and later on Mishnah in the first parak speak about two different things Chazal came up with. Again, this is all mit the Rabbanu. I'm not talking about any of this, but mit the Rabbanu, they came up with two different mechanisms to close off a mavul. Machlekes and Tanaim. Some Tanaim say you need both mechanisms, and we paskin either one is okay. What are the two mechanisms? One is called the lechi, one is called the kaira. A lechi means literally a pole. I take a pole and I put a pole in the Pesach HaMavoi. So again, Minat Torah, I don't have to do that. But with the Rabbanan, I can't leave the area totally open. I have to take a pole 10 tefachim tall and stick it there against one of the walls of the Mavoi. And that's called the lechi. And that lechi is now mach to the Mavoi. Then there's another eight of the Chazal say, if you don't want to put the lechi, no problem. You can build a kaira. You can take a beam and throw a beam across the edge, across from one side of the one wall of the Mavoi crossed to the other side of the Mavoi. So now whenever I walk out of the Mavoi, I'm walking underneath this Kaira. That's also acceptable. Either one is good. There's a Lechi, there's a Kaira. There's a lot of lumdus in the first Bech of Erevin, how these things work. Are these concepts that were totally made up by Chacham, are these ideas that come with Daraisa? Is it B'taras Mechitza? Is it B'taras Hek? There's a lot of labels in the first Bech of Erevin. So a lot of the Torahs revolve around these two institutions of Lechi and Kaira. The bottom line is there is such a thing called the lechi and called the kaira, and we paskin like the Tanaim will say either one of those works. So it's with this background that the Gemara and Erevin and the Pei Amadeus now begins to discuss a very, very strange scenario of either a lechi or a kaira. The Pei Amadeus and Erevin, second line from the top. Itmar Uchiba Rashi Amar Osin Lechi Asherah. You can use whatever you want to be a lechi. It doesn't have to be made. It doesn't have to be a piece of wood, it could be a piece of metal, whatever you want, any material could be a lech, it's got to be 10 tefachim tall, and anything would be good enough, and you can even use an asherah tree. So even if for some reason you have a tree growing there that's an asherah tree, you have wood from an asherah tree, you want to use that, it's going to be a lechi. So Gemara says, because today, osin lechi asherah. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar, osin kaira asherah. Rish Lakish says, same thing. Let's say you want to use your kaira, not your lechi. You want to use a beam on top, zundei. You can use an asherah tree wood as well. So Gemara says, "Ma di yom a kaira kol shekhen lechi." So the opinion that said that a kaira is acceptable for sure, a lechi is acceptable. Ma di yom a lechi of a kaira loy. But the other opinion that says lechi's all right, lechi yes, but kaira no. Why? Ksusei mechtas shirei. Because there's some kind of a problem of using a kaira shel asherah. Since an asherah tree has to be burnt, it's stone sreifa, so it's ksusim mech tashirei. And apparently a koira requires a shear. Since a koira requires a shear, therefore potentially it's not acceptable. Now, again, that was only a potentially. Apparently that was a machloikis. We're not really sure how we paskin, so it's unclear exactly. There's a little bit of a gears issue here also. So we're not quite sure who said what for what reason. But the Gemara did throw a curveball at us that maybe, according to somebody, a kaira shel asherah is problematic because of ksusim mech tashirei. And somehow, apparently, a lechi wouldn't pose a problem. So it's very, very unclear, very vague in this moment what's going on. Should we apply ksusim mech tashirei? Should we not? And if we do, should we only apply it to a kaira, not to a lechi? Why should we? Why shouldn't we? It's four lines in the Gemara, extremely, extremely unclear what exactly is going on. What's in between the lines here? So there's a major machlekes rishayim between the Ram and the Ravid as to what exactly the Gemara finally meant. If all the dust happened, when the sugya ended, how exactly did it end? So if you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, in Zmanim, who have a Rambam in front of them in Zmanim, in Perek Yud Zayin, it's a Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Yud Beis. So the Rambam says in Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Yud Beis, in Hilchos Shabbos, V'kol Osin L'chayayim. You can make a lechi out of whatever you want. Any material you want, gig is a date. I feel with davar sheyesh b'rachayim. You want to use a person to be a lechi. You want an animal to be a lechi. It's machlokes. The Torah is also good. I feel with b'sri anoya. Even things that are also banor can be used as a lechi. But is there atzmi? You can use an idol as a lechi. Oh, a sheyra shas as a lechi kash. You name it. Anything and everything is good. So the Rambam feels the necessity to explain himself. He's clearly referencing the Gemara in Eirvin Dapei, and the Rambam feels that he has to explain why this is so, because he sees that someone is going to read this and chapter him, and he asks, wait a second, how could that be? So the Rambam says, I'll tell you why it's okay. You know why it's okay? Shalechi ovio kol shehu. Because a lechi, after all, has no halacha how thick it has to be. And since there's no halacha that governs the thickness of the lechi, therefore, what is the Rambam saying with that phrase? Shalechi ovio kol shehu. The Rambam is apparently saying, therefore, there's no shear for a lechi. And if there's no shear for a lechi, because of day, then it could be, there's no ksusmech to shear. This was a throwback to the Ran. Remember the Ran Gittin from last week? But the Ran said, there's no problem with ksusmech to shear on a get, because there's no shear of a get. Ksusmech to shear means a cheftza in halacha that requires a shear. If it's ksusmech to shear, it's chasr in the shear. But if there's no requirement of a shear for something, then there's always ksusmech to shear, there's no problem at all. So that's exactly what the Rambam is expressing as well. Exactly what the Rambam expressed vis-a-vis the paper of a get. The Rambam is expressing vis-a-vis the lechi of to be matter this samavoy. The Rambam saying is that since a lechi anyway doesn't have a shiur, of you if I don't hack me a child, don't bother me with susimek kishur. But then the Rambam becomes so, so difficult because mamash in the same breath, the Rambam continues, goyva lechi, by the way, you want to know how tall a lechi has to be? Ain't pachas mesot tvachim. It has to be 10 tvachim. And it just reiterates, but rachav of avyei kolshu, but whereas the width of the lechi or the thickness of the lechi is kolshu, there is no shear. Up at the gova of the lechi, there is a shear. The shear is 10 tvachim. So the question is so obvious. Mineu be'en the Rambam. The Rambam just got finished explaining to you that the reason why there's no ksusim at the shear on a lechi is because there's no shear. And the Rambam, teich de dibu, just told you, of course there's a shear. There's a shear 10 tvachim. It's a missionary, but you can argue that. Avad, there's a shear 10 tvachim for a lechi. The same way there's a shear mechitz has to be 10 tvachim, a lechi has to be 10 tvachim. What's the Rambam talking about? How in the world can the Rambam tell us that there's no shear for a lechi and therefore everything's hunky-dory and therefore you can use a lechi shalashera? But in the same breath, the Rambam tells you, by the way, just in case you forgot, there is a shear of goiva. Manishtana the shear of goiva from the shear of ovio? Just because there's no thickness of a shear, there's no shear of thickness, why is that fundamentally different than the shear of a goiva? So the Rambam is mamish goiva. Then the Rambam continues in Alochi Yid Gimel. By the way, the Rambam says, Bakol osin kaira, avalo b'asheira, that a kaira you can use any material, it could be metal, it could be wood, it could be plastic, you name it. But what you can't do is, you can't use asheira. You know why? Because it happens to be that a kaira has a shear to it. There's a special tachanas achavim that a kaira has to be wide enough to be able to support a brick, and the Gemara says it has to be wide enough, basically a tefach. So it has to be a tefach wide. And therefore, the Rambam says, "Oy, oy, oy, gevalt, keshrigin." There's a shear of a tefach, and because shear in asurim in asherah. Whenever there's a din of a shear, so then an asherah is off limits because ksusim ech the shear. So the Rambam here is becoming almost like multiplying, contradicting himself. Like here, we have these three different shear in halacha. There's a shear of gova lechi. There's a shear of roichav akayra. And there's a non-existent shear of Reichim and Ivi Alechi. So the Rambam says, vis-a-vis Alechi, we're not bothered, ki who's there, we're not at all concerned with Ksusim et the shear, because there's no real shear, which is a pillay ploy, because Lamaisa there is a shear, the shear is 10 tvachim. So are you going to tell me somehow the Rambam wasn't Mesiachais to that shear? They'll shear him somehow, don't bother me for some deep dark secret. So why does the shear of Tefach of Reichim Akaira bother me? He said, I don't understand the Rambam. But then, are we bothered with Ksusim et the shear, or not? Does it concern us in Erevin or not? So by Kaira, all of a sudden it does bother us. By Lechi, it doesn't bother us. Because a Lechi doesn't have a shear, which a Lechi does have a shear. So the two Rambams don't fit. What's going on in these Rambams? So this is not my kasha, this is the Ravid's kasha in the Rambam. So we take a look at the Ravid in Alochi Yadayz. So the Ravid says, small letters there, Om Avram, the Avyei Kolshu, says the Ravid, yeah, the Rambam's right, Zalzani's right, that the Avyei Alechi is a Kolshu. And there's no shear, even though that is correct. Go for me as talk shear. She gov yasora. Says, I don't think the Rambam, you yourself, the Rambam said there's a shear of 10 tvachim for the goyva halechi. So the Ravid is asking Akasha. So says the Ravid, let me explain to you what's really going on. Ela bein lechi ben kayo mutter. Says the Ravid, the emphasis is that there's no problem with suspect shirei, neither for a lechi nor for a kayo. And then says the Ravid. They're both good to go. Why they're both good to go? Says the Ravid, not because there's no shear. There is a shear. There's a shear of a kair of a tefach. There's a shear of a lechi of ten tefachim. Avada their shearer. But why do these shear not lend themselves to the shear? Is up the Ravid, the mishum heker who? Va'ika heker. Says the Ravid, why do you need a lechi to be ten tefachim for? Why do you need a kair to be a tefach for vos? What's bad if it's nine tefach? What's wrong if it's half a tefach? So the answer is that the whole goal over here is to create a heker to prevent you from walking through the street. Remember, that's what we gave a 10-minute introduction. Why is there a din of lechi kair in the first place? I mean, a third is no such thing. Because Chazal were very, very weary lest the person walks through the street. So therefore, they wanted to create a heker. They wanted to make a sign, do not carry. It's like a do not carry sign. So Chazal instituted two different ways of making a do not carry sign. One was through a lechi, one was through a kair. So if the lechi is going to be so small, you're not going to see it. The kair is going to be so insignificant. If the things are going to be so little, you won't be able to catch, you won't catch your eye, so to speak. So it's not going to accomplish the goal of the heker. So the Ravid says, yeah, there are shiurim for lechi. Yeah, there are shiurim for keira. But the nature of the shiurim are what, Rabbi say? They're mitzias oriented. They're mitzias driven. They're not pure halacha. The idea of a shiur mishum heker is not a halachic shiur. A shiur mishum heker is like some of the shiur we spoke about last week. It's because of the fruit isn't ripened. Not ripening it, or because the shofar is going to, you're going to think your guy's blowing to his hand. Those are shiurim that are expressions of mitzias, or the size of the chalitza shiur according to the Rambam, back in the chasid of chalitza. Any shiurim that are mitzias driven are not shiurim for the parish of chasidim after shiurim. So the Ravid says, you want to know what's really going on in the sugyan erevim, when all the dust settles, both the kira and the lechi are okay. Neither of them are concerned with chasidim after shiurim, because chasidim after shiurim doesn't lend itself to these kinds of shiurim. That's what the Ravid says. That's the M. That's what he thinks the honest to goodness truth is. What's up the Ravid? If you want to salvage the Rambam and you want to somehow explain Pshat and the Rambam, there's a difference between a lechi and a kaira. So I'll explain that to you also. So if you take a look, so let's take a look at the end of the Ravid. It's three lines from the bottom of the Ravid, where the Ravid is now going out on a limb to explain the Rambam. The Ravid usually doesn't do this. The Ravid usually disagrees with the Rambam, gives his pshat and moves on. Here the Ravid says, I'm going to say a pshat in the Rambam's halacha, the la bitameh. There's no way in a million years the Rambam meant this, because the Rambam says, lechi is kol shehu. The Ravid says, let me explain to you, if you want to differentiate between the lechi and the kair, let me explain to you what it's based on. Says the Ravid, three lines from the bottom. Lechi, I forgot the chash is like a kash nidaf, efshla midah b'tzarakos, what did the Rabbi just say? What is Ksusa Mechshur mean? Let's get throwback from the Ran from last week. Ksusa Mechshur doesn't mean the item doesn't exist. It exists. Haraya exists. If there's no halachic shear, if there's no shear at all, like a paper of a get, so then you can write on the Dabra Ton Srefer. It doesn't bother me. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. What it means is, as felt in the shear, chaser in the shear. Why? What is ksusim ekshir? Listen to the words. Since you're supposed to burn it, so we view it in effect as if it's burnt. If it's burnt, it's a pile of ashes. It's not a piece of wood, it's a pile of ashes. It's here, but it's not a piece of wood, it's a pile of ashes. Is that a concern or not? Is having a pile of ashes good or bad? So says the Rabbi, but it depends what ever loch you're looking at. If you're learning the sugya of lechi, there's nothing wrong with having a pile of ashes. You know why? Because b'chol osim b'chayim, you can make a lechi out of a pile of ashes. There's nothing wrong with taking a good stock or stock pile of ashes, pawing it up, and that's the lechi. You're afraid it's going to fly away in the wind, so you tie it down. The Rambam, the Rabbi gives you an eitzah. He says, ki tichash tikikash nidav, eshel nidav b'tzala kaiznik shir, you'll tie it up to the, you'll wrap something around, and keep the ashes in place. There's nothing wrong with it. You can make a lechi out of a pile of ashes. You can't make a kaira out of a pile of ashes. You know why? Look, it's not going to stay hanging. What are you going to tie it to? It's suspending in midair. It has to be a unit, or else it's not going to stay in place. A lechi can be made up of multiple pieces, and that's okay. Says the Ravid, ksusim echteshur doesn't mean it's not here. Ksusim echteshur means that it's broken up into billions of little molecules. So when the halacha permits you to use a combination of a million different molecules, and that's called a and that's good enough to create that particular chefza, then ksusim echteshur is irrelevant. But when the halacha won't permit you to use a million molecules, the halacha doesn't accept that as a realistic possibility, So then you're going to be bound by the din of Ksusim Echdashir. And that's why it's up to Rav. If you want to tell me a story that a lechi is not a problem, Ksusim Echdashir, and a kaira is, so the real reason, says the Rav, it is because a lechi can be made up of multiple pieces and a kaira can't. But the Rav said, if you want to know my heart of hearts, what's the difference between a lechi and a kaira? Nothing. There's no difference. You know why? Because neither of them require Ksusim Echdashir. Neither of them are apostles Ksusim Echdashir because those are shurim of heker. The shiur of mitzias and that shiur of halacha. So when all the dust settles, the Ravid took a stand on our issue. Our shaila from last week, again this week's shiur, does Ksusim Echdashir apply to mitzias driven shiurim? So the Ravid is advancing his theory that not, and that's why in his heart and soul and heart of hearts he believes that Ksusim Echdashir doesn't impact neither lechis nor kairis. Now the Rambam doesn't seem to say that, but the Rambam has the strange difference between lechis and kairis. So the Ravid's trying his best to try to give up shot in the Rambam. But yeah, it's not shot in the Rambam. The Ravid never meant to say this is what the state in the Rambam. The Rambam's the favorite and Alechi Ein Lashir. So what is more in sync with the Rambam proper? Can we come out with a way to salvage the Rambam himself, not just to stick in the Ravid's new shekel Torah, the difference between things that can make up multiple pieces? Is there some veer in the Rambam invoking the Lashon of the Rambam himself? And the Rambam says, the Rambam knew full well what he was writing was an internal contradiction. How can the Rambam say that? So there is a famous view from Reb Chaim on this Rambam. Reb Chaim explains that even though it's true that a lechi has to measure 10 tefachim, bottom line is if you have a lechi, it's not tefachim, your tikkun hamavi is possible. You cannot carry that mavi mid the Rabbanim. You didn't accomplish the Tekhanos Chom of Tikkun of Lechi. So it's true that the Metzias HaDvarim is you need 10 Tefachim. But that Shir of 10 Tefachim doesn't lend itself to Ksusim Echdashirim. And why not? What's the Bira Dover? So when the Rambam says that She'alechi Oivya Kolshu and Goyva Lechi and Tefachim Besar Tefachim, the Rambam knew full well that Lamais you have to measure 10 Tefachim. But the Rambam says that requirement of 10 Tefachim doesn't necessarily translate to mean Ksusim Echdashir. Why not? What's that all about? So it's not like the Ravid said that Metzias Shurim don't translate, because the Rambam said by Korah does translate. The Rambam says a Kaira that's Ksusim Echdashir is the problem. So the Rambam didn't buy into the Ravid. So what is Pshat in the Rambam's debut in the Rambam? So Chaim says as follows. Chaim says that this idea that you need a Lechi of 10 Tefachim, where did that come from? It's a Mishnah, it's a first paragraph. Where did that din come from? Why is it that you need a lechi of 10 tefachim? So this is clearly no question linked to the din that a mechitz has to be 10 tefachim. And where did that come from? Kachin emar lachim ha-shinai. Shinur ha-chitz mechitz lachim ha-shinai, and a mechitz has to be 10 tefachim. The Gemara even quotes one opinion that says a lechi mishu mechitz, a lechi has certain characteristics of uchaz mechitz to it, and therefore it has to be 10 tefachim, it has to mamish, has to reflect all the details, the characteristics of uchaz mechitzas. What's required for mechitza is required for a lechi. Mechitza, that's b'ten tefachim, lechi is b'ten tefachim. Yesh lachos, says Reb Chaim. What's the nature of the din that you need mechitza is ten tefachim? Says Reb Chaim, one can understand this in one of two ways. Either one can understand that the sheer ten tefachim is a sheer and the shame mechitza. That since the Torah says, Allah HaShinai says, that mechitzas are what defines Rishas Sayachim. Is a deraistic concept called Rishas Yochim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu was Meishah to Meishah Rabbeinu, the Dinah of Otsah. So the Rambam writes in the Shabbos that the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Meishah to Meishah Rabbeinu, all the Dinah Torah, all the basic Yisraelis of all the Dinah Torah. And then the Rambam gives us an example. He says, Lamasha, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu explained to Meishah Rabbeinu, Lassasik and Malacha, so he explained to him all the Malachas, and explained to him the Dinah of Otsah, and explained to him what's the Rishas Yochim, what's the Rishas Rabbim, and Otsah, Chlosa, and Lamas, all the Dinah, the whole background of Shabbos and Erevin, were all Nimsa to Meishah Rabbeinu. So part of that package, part of that picture of Rishiyos, the Da'al Rishiyos B'Shabbos, is that Rishiyos HaYochid is made up of Mechitzas Ten Tefachim. So what's the nature of that din that Shiyof Ten Tefachim was Nimsa Meishah Benu? Is the Pshat that to be called the Mechitzas has to be Ten Tefachim. It's the Hilchas Mechitzas Shabbai has to be Ten Tefachim. Is that the Pshat? Or no, that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is that a Rishus has to be Mugdar, has to be surrounded with an entity of 10 tefachim. It's the Hilchus Rishus Shavai that requires 10 tefachim. In order to define Rishus HaYochid, the Chafzafin Rishus HaYochid has to be a Mokam HaMugdar b'ten tefachim. It has to be surrounded and fenced in by ten tefachim. But it's not intrinsic to the mechitzas proper. It's a halacha that emanates from the rishus, not from the mechitza. So comes Reb Chaim and says, if the second pshat is correct, as Reb Chaim believes it is, then I understand exactly what the Rambam is saying. It's, you cannot talk about ksus emechta shiurei on a cheftza unless that cheftza, mitam a cheftza, requires a shiur. You could talk about a lulav ksus emechta shiurei because the lulav requires a shiur. You could talk about a shayf ksus emechta shiurei because a shayf requires a shiur. You could talk about a kaira requiring a shiur and being possible ksus emechta shiurei because a kaira requires a shiur. But you cannot talk about a lechi being ksus emechta shiurei because it's not just about the shiur. The shiur is not in the lechi shabon. The shiur is in the rishus shabon, in the makom hamukdor. The makom hamukdor is mukdor. The fact that this particular mechitza happens to be a davar amid the shreifa, what does that have to do with the makom hamukdor? The makom hamukdor is the mukdor by a davar shel mechitza. So once you take the din of ten tefachim out of the definition of the etzad achefts of the mechitza and place it in the hilchos makom, so then that removes the stigma of ksus emechta shiurei. That's Reb Chaim's bia b'dasana. So again, this is not identical to the Ravitz theme that metzias-oriented shiurim don't lend themselves ksus emechta shiurei. This is a halachic-oriented shiur, but it's not oriented into the cheftz itself. It's coming from a different, but it's coming from left field. So it's a similar kind of limitation to ksus emechta shiurei, but it's not identical. So basically, where a yaitzim and a devarim is that ksus emechta shiurei is not as all-encompassing as we thought it was. We thought we read ksus emechta shiurei, you're good to go, it passes everything. So the Ran and Gittin told us, first of all, it only passes when there's a din shiur. By paper baguette, no din shiur, no psul, ksus emechta shiurei. Then we had Rishayim, who potentially told us ksus emechta shiurei doesn't pass when it's just a metziah shiur. And now we had the Tosfos and the Rashi, machlokes about the list. And now we had the Ravid again repeating the same. I'm sorry, then we had the machlokes Rashi and the Rambam about the chalitza shiur. But that lends itself to ksus emechta shiurei. And the Rambam may end up saying that it doesn't. And now we have a whole nother take, a whole nother pismon over here. But now the Rambam seems to, according to Reb Chaim, is telling us that you have a shiur, but this kind of shiur still doesn't lend itself to ksus emechta shiurei. Because of the technicality, the shiur is not neveh, it doesn't emanate from the cheftza proper, it emanates from the rishus that has to be mugda by mechitza ten tefachim. So basically, it's a fascinating shaila. We spoke about this in some of the chun shiur, I think, earlier this year. We spoke about it in the past, the Chas Chanukah time also. It's a fascinating shaila that appears in the Shari Tshuva in the Chas Chanukah, where the Shari Tshuva quotes him to Acharenim. I think it's from the Shari Freyim, I'm not sure. Quotes him to Acharenim, who discussed the following fascinating shaila. A person was scrounging around looking for oil to light the menorah with, and the only oil that they found was some butter. I guess in theory butter is fatty, so it would burn as oil. But this particular butter happened to have been fried in a fleshik frying pan. And the butter was basically basmachal of butter. To make it lively for our Kolboka fellows, it was a ben yoyma frying pan, so it was a real basmachal. And now I have this butter that's basmachal. I want to know, Rabbi, can I use this bas b'chol to get butter to be yaitzin the mitzvah of Neir Chanukah? So the shayla has multiple levels. So some want to pilpul, wait a second, you're being nenef and bas b'chol. It's not honest, the rice is not butter. That's a whole topic in itself. Other chorim raise the red flag. Maybe by lighting the butter, you're being remavash on the bas b'chol. So where's the pot? Like a little menorah hen, cup. That's the pot. Where's the fire? The wick with the flame, that's the fire. Very bizarre way of thinking of cooking something. So the person can start tumbling. Is that called bishl? Is that called adlocha? Is that called in bishlach habishl? Is that double lach? A lot of tayyurus and basmachal. You can spend days learning the shayla from the other angles, which is not even our part. And come some achareim and say, wait a second. You can't be yaitzeh the mitzvah of their chanukah with such oil because this oil is ksusei mechta shiurei. So what in the world does that mean? We know the Gemara tells us in the second parak of Shabbos, and your Chanukah has to burn for a certain amount of time. The Shiura, it's got to burn for the amount of time. Ashtichu regel manashuk, from the time of the Tchilas Nanad Lacha, from, let's say, if I would take away the Ben Hashem from Shia, until people would no longer walk in the streets, it's got to burn Hashem Tichlu. I'm going to show how much is that. So the Rambam writes, Kechatzi Shah, approximately half hour. That's where the magic number came from. The Rambam looked outside, and he saw it, said the people are still walking in the street. The reason is very simple. People are only walking in the street when it's a little bit light. Once it's after half hour, it's already too dark in the street. So we know that a half hour or so after sunset, it's still a little bit light. That's why I always say that that's where the Department of Motor Vehicles must have gotten the shear from. I think, if I'm not less, I remember when I got my driver's license many moons ago. So the law was that technically it's not breaking the law if you're driving within a half hour after sunset without your lights on. I'm not recommending to do that, but technically you can't get pulled over for a ticket within a half hour after sunset. Maybe the DMV knows in a half hour. So it's a fair shiram, because the Rambam writes that the shiur of Hashem Tichlu Rechem Hashuk is a half hour. Why is it not Tichlu Hashuk? Because the answer is it's pitch black in the old days. We don't light outside. So when it's an hour of the shkiyah, we should go and walk in the street, you're going to bump into something. So for the first half hour or so, it's still a little bit light outside. So it's Hashem Tichlu Rechem Hashuk. So there's a shiur for Neres Chanukah. So some Achareim start talking, ooh, there's a shiur for Neres Chanukah. Susim Ech Tashir, when you have oil that's aimed to be destroyed, that's shiur. You don't have a shear of Adalacha. So that's a very, very questionable sheet for other reasons. First of all, by the way, Bas Mechavot is not Minhag Shrofin. It happens to be Minhag Borin. It's supposed to be Kaiver Bas Mechavot. It's supposed to burn Bas Mechavot. So that's a whole loaded question. Maybe we'll get to next week a little bit. But we're not focusing on that right now. We're focusing on, wait a second, is this shy leaving it off the ground? Kesuse Minhag Shiru. What did you have out for? Vishnah, Halach Mashm Sinai, because it's all Durban. Why was Chazal Mesachin? It was an arbitrary Shia. Chazal took the coin and came with another half hour. The answer is very simple. Chazal didn't even use the word half hour. Chazal used the Shia Shetichah Rechman Ashur. Because the goal was, we want the menorah to last enough time so the people in the street are going to see it. So if you light a menorah, it goes after 30 seconds, nobody really saw it. Enough people didn't see it. So that kind of a Shia of a half hour is by far not a halachic Shia. It's clearly a Metziah Shia. It's a reflection of a physical reality. Let's say Imtum Talomer, in the days of Chazal, when the Chashmonai made the promise to Neres Chanukah, let's say people would have been walking the street for 5 hours. So then they would have changed the shear. They would have made a bigger shear. There is no absolute shear. That's the famous word for the Biskurav. The Biskurav held that the shear of Hashetichel Menashev changes according to the time and place. It's a tremendous chumrah. The Biskurav said that when you light your neighbors at Shkia, you have to try to make them they last until the end of traffic ends for that night. You have to keep them going for 4 or 5 hours. So it's quoted from the Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav lived in Geula. He lived, those who know, we go up Kikar, at Kikar Shabbat, and you walk up. So, you know, that's kind of fork in the road. So instead of walking, like if you stay towards the left and you walk up, then you end up eventually hitting King George. But if you walk up to the right, so then there used to be the famous movie theater in Geula, the Edison movie theater. Some of you may remember that old landmark. It's apparently been out of business for quite some time. I don't think the clientele there was the movie going crowd, but when the Brisker Rav lived there back in the 40s and the 50s, so when the Brisker Rav lived across the street, right up the block, that's where Brisk is now, by Rami Yeshua, it's Brisk now, it's up. If you go up the block a little bit more, so you hit that Brisk, the other Brisk, my son's home, it's a different part of the line. But Rami Yeshua's Brisk is where his father used to live, where his grandfather used to live. So the Brisker Rav apparently lived across from the Edison Movie Theater. So the way the story goes is that the Brisker Rav used to be mocked, like the Yerushalmis, they would light, like the Vinegar Grove, they would light Neves Chanukah with Shkia, and he would put in enough oil or big enough candles that they should last until the end of the last matinee, the end of the last movie. So apparently the last movie showing was 11:30 at night in Yerushalayim. So how long the movies were, an hour and a half. So to 1 o'clock in the morning, to the last crowd would leave the movie theater, so the Brisker Rav would be cheshish to put in 7, 8, 9 hours worth of oil, because he held that it's a hashash of, otherwise it's a maybe chisard in the shir, mashat chavrei the manashuk. Wow, most people are not so makhman for that. So that idea is just highlighting the fact that this shear is not written in stone. There's a reflection of Matthias. This is a shear that's the engine that's driving this shear. It's a Matthias. So that's what many Rishayim would argue that. What's the fuck with the shear here? This doesn't make any sense. Smith the shear. The same way the Ravid said it doesn't make any sense by shear and Eiravid. In the same way that the Rambam says it doesn't make any sense by the shear of Chalitza Shu. On the other hand, other Rishayim said it does apply. Other Rishayim said it does make sense by Eiravid. Other Rishayim said it does. Rashi and Yivam said it does make sense by the Chalitza Shu, and Tosfos said maybe it does make sense by the Yesher, maybe the Rosh says it does make sense by the Shofar. So this is a running machlokes. It's limited to the halachic driven shirim, whether it applies even to the Metzias, the driven shoes. So this is still an open question. So many sugyas, so many mamakamis, everything is flying around, so we'll try to solve the same problems. So we've been learning the same bracha, we've learned the same sugya for 2-3 weeks already, and we're trying to get a little bit of clarity, but we keep on bumping into the same theme that this is a major machlekes. This shayla is permeating sugyas and sukkah and Rosh Hashanah and Yavamis and Erevin, all and out of Chanukah, all trying to figure out the same basic question. But one thing seems to be really, really clear. I mean, it's seems to be not negotiable, is that Ksusim Ashurid only speaks to items that have a shear to them. If there's no shear to them, then I can't even say with a straight face the word Ksusim Ashurid was for shear. There's no shear. So that theme was already presented us by the Ran. About 2 weeks ago, we introduced that Ran. I was getting with the Ran, made that observation that Chafotzim and Halacha that don't have a shear altogether are Bechlal not in the parish Ksusim Ashurid. That's where the Ran machtevek the whole sugya of Ksusim Ashurid as related to get, because a get, paper and a get doesn't have a shear. So even though we're accepting that, we're not questioning that, there's still a little bit of work to be done even on that also. So hopefully Mitzvah next week, I told them to bring the Gemara's Gittin, but hopefully Mitzvah next week. So we'll put the final touches on this to try to just fine tune a little bit that Nakud of the Ran and see a little bit made, a little here and there, hopefully a little bit more spots and ends in terms of what Ksus Yeshuri does apply, when it doesn't apply. Hopefully Mitzvah next week, I guess we can see him on the Sugya, hopefully, of Ksus Yeshuri. Okay, see you everyone. That's a shaman next week. Good night.
Thank you, Avi.
Take care.